Do you ever feel like you're not good enough, like you're a fraud? Well, you're definitely not alone. There are millions of people experiencing imposter syndrome, and they experience it at some point in their lives. But there's good news, and that is that it is definitely something that you can overcome. There are strategies for overcoming imposter syndrome and still achieving success anyway. In this episode, we'll explore what imposter syndrome is, why it happens, and how to push through those feelings of self-doubt to achieve your goals. I know it's hard to believe that anyone could feel like a fraud or an imposter, especially when they have all the evidence to back up their accomplishments. But for some people, this is a very real and debilitating experience known as imposter syndrome. Trust me, I can attest to this. We're going to be diving into the thick of it now, so don't go anywhere. Welcome to Lolly Secrets, a place where we work towards becoming a better version of ourselves by aligning expectations with reality, with a key focus on our self-development journey. If you haven't already, go on and subscribe to our podcast for more of our content. So, what is imposter syndrome and why does it even happen? At some point or another, we've all felt like a fraud, right? So, we tend to doubt our abilities and we feel like we're not good enough and think that sooner or later we're going to be exposed as that imposter that we are. Now, this feeling is what they call imposter syndrome. And it's surprisingly common, thankfully, because I know that I feel it, especially with higher achievers. So you can take that as a compliment if you want. I don't know if it's a compliment or not, because yes, we're higher achievers, but with being a high achiever comes this debilitating problem. Well, there you go. If you're feeling like a fraud, you can definitely take comfort in knowing that you're not alone. Now, there are a few reasons why imposter syndrome happens. So for one, we live in a culture that values perfection. So with social media, it's highlighting only the best moments of everyone's lives. So it's easy to feel like everyone's having their act together while you're just struggling to keep up with everyone. Every time I scroll through my social media feed, somebody's on holiday living their best life, right? I'm scrolling through, somebody else is in a perfect marriage, or somebody is, you know, she's this entrepreneur and, you know, she has a baby on her hip. She's doing everything. She's like the best of the best, right? So there's that pressure, right? Everyone has their act together and you're all just trying to keep up. Now, on top of that, imposter syndrome is usually driven by the fear of failure. We worry that if we make a mistake, it will confirm our belief that we're not good enough. And one of the biggest things is that it can be fueled by comparison. Now, when we compare ourselves to others, we tend to find that we focus on our weaknesses rather than on our strengths. I have a cousin who always says this, and it's imprinted in my brain. So anytime I see something and I'm thinking to myself, love to be on holiday right now, when I see somebody's pictures on holiday, she says, comparison is the thief of joy. So you're just stealing your own joy because you're focusing on your weaknesses rather than your strengths. So it's something to always think about. It's constantly being fueled by comparison, and you obviously don't want to be comparing yourself to others all the time. You should be chasing your own goals at the end of the day, right? So what can we do about it? The first thing you can do is to try and figure out how you can tell if you have imposter syndrome. Doesn't matter your age, your gender, your background. There are a few indicators, right? And I'm just going to cover a few of them right now. So one of the indicators of imposter syndrome is second guessing yourself. It's definitely a common symptom, okay? One of the things you find is that you're constantly doubting your abilities. And even when you have all the evidence to back up your skill, you've finished your degree, you've done all the certification, you know, you've worked, let's say, in a company, and you've actually done the experience of the role for years and years. And, you know, you finally get that big promotion and you're still second guessing yourself. On top of that, you're downplaying all your accomplishments and you're attributing them to good luck or great timing rather than skill. So you'll find that you're constantly questioning if you're actually able to do the work that you're doing, even when you have all the evidence, right? So I'll give you an example. When I was working in one of the previous places I used to work in, I had this manager who was an absolute see you next Tuesday. And I think that was part of what caused me to doubt a lot of my abilities. So there was a lot of insecurities as well. I'd gone through a lot and that had played a part in me doubting myself and having imposter syndrome. In that time, I was doubting a lot of my abilities, and I'll never forget this. I was doing revenue at a hotel, and a lot of that comes with doing a lot of equations and trying to figure out, you know, revenue management and what have you. And I literally would have the equation in front of me. I would be looking at some stuff. I would put some numbers into the equation and I would have the answer, and I would be putting these things into a spreadsheet, and I would finish it and I would go to the manager and be like, oh, is this correct? And this is me having checked it 3-4 times, double, triple checked it against other things. And I know it's correct deep down in my soul, but at the same time, still doubting everything about it. Now, obviously, bad management, it's no fun. When you're doubting yourself and on top of that you have bad management, it's a terrible situation, right? But I can tell you for a fact that it was debilitating. Unfortunately, my manager was playing into my doubts, and she was scared of me knowing the work because I knew a lot of stuff that she didn't know. And on top of that, she was afraid that I would get her job, even though I just wanted to do well. I just wanted to do my job and go home, but she had a lot of fears that I would eventually take her job. So she would end up telling me I was doing it wrong. You know, when you see something that, you know, 1 + 1 = 2 and you've done it, and you show the person just to show them that you've done it, and they tell you it's wrong. So you go back and you're trying to figure it out for another few hours because you don't know any other answer, because it doesn't make sense why it's wrong. So you're just constantly doubting your abilities. It's like a vicious circle. Oh my God. And then when you eventually get it right, you then attribute it to luck or timing rather than skill. And you've had the skill the whole time, right? I mean, other times you can feel like you're not good enough and that you just don't deserve your success. And it can really, really lead to a lot of anxiety and self-doubt. And I can tell you, trust me, it's really not a place to be in, especially when you're at work or you're in a situation where people are depending on you. So yeah, doubting your abilities is a tough one. I tell you that for nothing. So if you find yourself doing a lot of that, it might be imposter syndrome, you know, on your shoulder, whispering in your ear. That might be what you have to blame for those situations. The next one is when you're convinced you're going to fail. It's definitely a common one now. Sometimes it's due to a fear of failure or a lack of self-confidence. And a lot of them usually is from some lack of self-confidence. Someone's knocked you down at some point or the other in your life. And usually as a result, you'll find yourself avoiding new opportunities, right? Or challenges, because you're so afraid of not being good enough. You're afraid that you'll be put in a situation where the new opportunity will end up embarrassing you or, you know, humiliating you. And then if you're not good enough, then that will ricochet into other like trauma. You'll start reliving other traumas that's happened to you in the past. And no one wants to feel like a failure. You almost feel like you'll be caught with your pants down again. Being convinced you're going to fail is a really big one. That fear of failure, it just starts growing and growing. And that's why to a certain degree, some people don't apply for promotions, for example. They don't go for these fun and exciting side hustles. They don't even go for fun and adventure when it comes to fun activities, because they're just like, oh no, no, not me. You know, I'm not doing that. That's a really big one now. I can give examples in every of these situations because been there, done that, worn the t-shirt, and guess what? It's a daily struggle. Anyone who's going through this knows the problem. Yeah, so it's really, really challenging. Like, I know that when I was starting to look for a new career and even just trying to think of new side hustles and things like that, I was freaking out, because for me, I kept thinking to myself, what if I start a new job or a new career and I fail? What if, you know, I finally pick something different and I don't enjoy it or I don't like it? And then after all I've been through in the last career, and then this one fails too, then I'm, you know, I'm basically just floating around in my 30s, not figured out what I'm doing. And in your 20s, it's all fun and games, right? You're just like, hey, we're living life. If anyone asks you what you're doing, I don't know, I'm just still figuring it out. Woo-woo. You can get away with it in your 20s. And even then, I decided I knew what I wanted to do. But then guess what? Once that blew up in my face with all the challenges I was facing, and I decided I want to try something different, I felt like I was falling apart. And I had to figure that out. So yeah, fear of failure is a really, really big deal, especially in this society where a lot of things are tied back to what you do for a living, right? So I had to break those chains down and really really ask myself, am I my job or is my job me? And what is my sense of purpose? But anyway, that's going into a whole other situation. All right. So the other one for another common symptom for imposter syndrome is striving for perfection. Who else is a perfectionist? You start something and then before you know it, you're in the nitty gritty. And the amount of times I've actually failed a project, not because it wasn't amazing, but because I didn't hand it in time. Why? Because I would hand it over for printing to the printer at the very last minute because I wanted it to be so fancy and so pretty because I wanted it to be so perfect. And guess what? I had other people who I knew in the same class who did a much, much crappier job than I did, but they handed it in time. And guess what? They passed. I didn't hand it in time, so I failed that module. I'm speaking about a specific one. I'll never forget this one. And it really, really hurt me because when I resubmitted for that module, I got a first class. It hurt my soul to the nth degree. The point I'm making is striving for perfection is so painful. I mean, you put a lot of pressure on yourself to be perfect, and you'll feel like you have to be perfect in order to be successful, or that any little mistake you make will be exposed and it'll lead you to failure. And you feel like you can't even make a spelling mistake. You're literally going over every little bit, every tiny little thing. And the moment somebody points out one tiny thing, it hurts your soul. So you're going through it with a fine tooth comb. And what ends up happening is you don't get that far in anything. Whereas others have gone so much further than you because they're just getting through their projects and they'll come back later if they have time. And if they don't, well, at least they've done something. Whereas you're still in the beginning, maybe in the intro. I mean, these are really debilitating, yeah? It can be a lot of pressure to live up to these perfectionist situations. And it can really lead to anxiety and stress. Like you will proper have circling thoughts just over and over about these situations that you're constantly trying to be a perfectionist about. And letting go of these perfectionist lifestyle is not easy. It really isn't, you know? The OCD starts forming and it's hard to let go. I'll tell you that for nothing. Let's talk about attributing success to luck or timing, because we kind of touched on a few of these things and they keep coming up in bits and bobs, but we want to put that as a real point in and of itself. So when you have imposter syndrome, you don't tend to see yourself as a highly skilled person because you have all this anxiety and perfectionism and all this other stuff going on that you're just so lost in the hustle and bustle of getting things done and making sure everything is just perfect that when things actually click into place, you're just so relieved and you're like, "Whoa, that was so lucky." Whereas really, it was all your skill. You'll be downplaying your projects, everything that you worked hard for, and say that, oh, you know, that was lucky. I just got that in the nick of time. I'm so glad that went well. You know, I'm just so glad that everything just worked out. Whereas really, you and I know that you busted your ass to get all that job done and get it done so well because of the perfectionist nature that you have, right? I've seen it even done to the point where people sometimes even do this thing where it's like, oh, I was in the right place at the right time, or you planned it so meticulously you just happened to be in the right place at the right time. Like, stop. We do this all the time. Look, I know this, and we've all done this at one point or the other. You downplay it. Like, I planned a trip a little while ago and he was like, oh, everything's planned so well. I was like, oh really? I actually did it. When I did it, I was so irritated with myself. I was like, oh, but you know, it was a team effort, we did it together. And literally, I had it all on a map. I did everything so meticulously. It's just funny how so many people do these things. I know this girl who is so meticulous about her planning. She would plan parties. She would have spreadsheets. She would have all sorts of stuff. And when her mom would be like, oh, everything just came out so perfectly, she would be like, oh, really? I don't know. You know, it was a team effort. And really, she literally did everything from scratch. She would have all these notebooks. She would call all the vendors. She would, you know, have all her lists from the night before in the morning and everything, but she would just let it go because you don't want to seem like you're dying over the whole situation and you don't want to seem like you're full on anxious over the whole thing. Comparing yourself to others. A lot of the time when you have imposter syndrome, you find that you're almost matching yourself with somebody. So it's like, okay, I have a house. Does my next door neighbor have a house? Okay, if they bought a shed, do I need to get a shed? Oh, my shed has to be perfect. debt and all these kind of little weird little things that keep going on. Or in the office, okay, well, if this person got this commission, so I have to have this commission. And you start competing with other people randomly. And it's so unnecessary, because what starts happening is it's that feeling of not being good enough, because you start comparing yourself and saying, well, if they're doing it, why can't I do it, right? Whereas really, it shouldn't really be comparing yourself to other people, because you're just going to make yourself unhappy. And it's just so stressful every time you do that, because you don't know what's going on in their head or in their lives. And you're there competing with them when you that have your other stuff going on should really be just focusing on whatever it is you're doing right now and how it affects your life as a whole. But no, you've gone into overdrive and decided you're going to compare yourself with this person in this situation about this thing. And it doesn't make sense. It causes you to have envy, causes you to be resentful, and it's just a vicious cycle. There's also feeling like a fraud. Now, this is huge and it happens all the time. You get a job and you've literally done this job before, but you've moved to another company and you're literally doing the same job again, but you feel like a fraud. I just don't know how the brain works, but it works like this more often than not. They start asking you questions. Before you know it, it's almost like you know it, but your brain starts going blank. And later you start saying, why didn't I answer the question? Like, you literally start replaying the conversation in your head the way it should have gone. And now you're almost trying to bait yourself into the same kind of questions again the next day, in hopes that now that you have the answers, you can have the same conversations again. It's wild, I'm telling you. Sometimes you're just feeling like a fraud constantly in the office and in social settings as well. Seriously, it's wild. A lot of it comes from self-confidence. And honestly, I generally feel like a lot more women have this than men. I'm not saying men don't have it, but I find that women have a lot more of these scenarios than men, right? A lot of men just black their way through a lot of situations. Or maybe men are better at hiding it than women. I just find a lot of the time when you're feeling like a fraud, it's just so much worry going on, because you just literally feel like someone's going to expose you as an imposter. Same as being a fraud. It actually is the biggest fear of having imposter syndrome. You just find yourself constantly avoiding new opportunities and challenges again, because you're just so afraid that that one person or that cheeky person who you know doesn't like you is just going to try and mess with your confidence even more. And, you know, it's all part of that anxiety and stress again, just building up and building up. And this leads me to my next point of, you know, you start questioning your success. The more you lack self-confidence, the more you start questioning your success. And the more afraid you are of being exposed as an imposter, the more unsure of your talents or ability you're going to be. And the more unsure of your talents and ability you are, the more you start questioning your success. It all just ricochets into the next thing and into the next thing. So I think we've covered quite a lot of common symptoms of imposter syndrome, right? I think we can safely say that if you have at least 5 of these, welcome to the crew. So now that we've had a chat about some of the symptoms of imposter syndrome, why don't we talk a little bit about what the strategies are for overcoming imposter syndrome and how we can achieve success regardless of the imposter syndrome. One of the first things you have to just understand is that when you feel like an imposter, I know it can be tough to achieve the success that you want, but one of the most important things to understand is that you need to remember that all your feelings are normal and valid, and you're not alone. There's many of us out there. Now, some of the tips on how to deal with imposter syndrome. The first one, which is acknowledging your feelings. On this first step, it is just so important to acknowledge that you're feeling like an imposter. It is really important to understand that these feelings are normal and you're not alone, and acknowledging them makes them not only valid, but something that you can now actively work on. So instead of just hiding and saying, no, it can't be this, it can't be that, look, this is it. I do feel like something's going on here and I'm going to tackle it. If you face that fear, then that's the first step and you can move forward with your life. So again, the first step is acknowledging your feelings. Now, the second step is reframing your thinking. So you need to start questioning the thoughts that you're having that are causing you to feel like an imposter. So when you're trying to reframe this thinking of yours, you need to first ask yourself a question of these feelings that you're having, are they true? Are they fact? Is what you're feeling true? Like, are you really a failure or is it just a fear? Then the next question you'll ask yourself when you're reframing your thinking is, are these thoughts even helpful to begin with? Because if they're not helping you push through what you're trying to do, then we need to start pushing back on these thoughts. And Once you change the way you are thinking about yourself and your abilities, these feelings of insecurity will start slowly dissolving, dissipating, getting less. That voice that's screaming at you that you're a mess up, you're a failure or whatever, or you can't do this or whatever, all that negative self-talk in your mind, the voice will start being quieter and you will start believing in yourself a little bit more, and then that self-confidence will start increasing. So the third thing would be to talk to someone else about it. Now, a lot of people who are afraid or scared don't necessarily want to tell someone, listen, I feel like a fraud, or I feel like a failure, or I just feel like I'm not, you know, I'm basically not where I'm supposed to be, or whatever the feelings are. Not a lot of people necessarily want to share that because you're a bit ashamed about those feelings, right? You're a bit embarrassed that you even feel that way, or that it might even be true. And you're afraid that if you tell somebody else, they'll validate these scary feelings. But I'll tell you something, somehow, somewhere, despite having imposter syndrome, I can assure you that somewhere in your mind, you have this tiny little voice in your head telling you that's not true. And sometimes talking to somebody else who understands what you're going through, someone like that should understand what you're going through. Maybe someone who's like a friend or a family member or a therapist or a coach, somebody who's trusted, someone you can trust to kind of share these feelings with. Once you talk to them about this openly, about your imposter syndrome, they can help you to start breaking it down and going, actually, no, none of that's true. Actually, sometimes in these things, you might know something but not fully believe in it. But if somebody else tells you about yourself, then it starts feeling real. And especially when there's that positive talk coming to you, you're like, okay, maybe they are right. Maybe I am good at this or whatever. So it's quite important that you talk to someone who, like I said, is understanding and supportive and someone that you trust. Very, very important. So the fourth strategy on how to tackle imposter syndrome would be focusing on your accomplishments. Now, one way or the other, you can get someone to tell you those things, on all the things that you've done. But sometimes, I'll tell you, sometimes, let me tell you what I do. Okay, I sometimes open my CV. And don't forget, I know we all have different versions of our CV depending on what company we're applying to. But I'll tell you something. I have a master CV that has every single little thing I've ever done. Because what I started doing at some point in my life is anytime I had a win at work, I would write it down somewhere. And yeah, when you write a CV, you can only put like 3 or 4 bullet points per job. What I started doing is I have that master CV where every single win I have in every bloody job is in it. So you have like 20 or 50 or however many bullet points per job. And you say, actually, yeah, I did that. Oh, and I did that. Oh, yeah, and I did that. Oh my God, I am the bee's knees. I am a star. So when you start looking at these CVs, you're like, hang on a second, this whole thing is little old me. Yes, I am that person. So it is really important to remember all these things that you've accomplished, even if you feel like an imposter. I'll tell you, when you look at that, you'll just be like, oh yeah, I am amazing. And it'll help you to give you a sense of confidence and remind you that you are capable of everything. Fifth strategy is take action anyway. This is one of the hardest ones I found in my, I want to call it recovery at this point, but when I've been trying to work on my imposter syndrome, taking action anyway. I have this thing where once I am really upset about something and I'm having this massive negative talk in my head, I just close it and forget about it because I don't want to deal with it. Because if I'm not looking at it, if it's not there irritating me or making me sad, then it didn't happen. It's not happening. I just don't have to worry about it, right? But I can tell you this for nothing. If you just work on it anyway, even if it's not perfect, I can tell you, even this episode I'm making, I've had to do it. I think at this point, I'm on my 7th time re-recording some bits because I mistakenly deleted some bits. And I tell you, me of however many years ago would have just said, I'm done with this point to this episode. I'm just going to do a new episode of something different because I cannot deal with this back and forth and hearing the issues, the bits and bobs are really irritating me. But I'll tell you something, I'm pushing it out there. I have to because I'm taking action anyway. Yeah. You just don't let the feeling of feeling like an imposter, don't let it stop you from taking action and moving forward with your goals. I know I have goals for this podcast. I know I have, you know, dreams and hopes for things that I want to do in the future. So I'm not going to stop just because it's, you know, I'm upset or I think it's going to end up being really crappy when I'm done. I know there's a message in here for someone who can take something out of it and use it for something positive, you know? So you have to take action, but always remember the reason why you're doing whatever it is that you're doing. And that's why it's so important to have really strong values and really strong vision of what you're trying to do for yourself. So the more you do, the more confidence you'll have in your abilities. And eventually, imposter syndrome will just start disappearing. just going away. So the sixth strategy would be to make a plan and know what steps you want to take to achieve your goal. Now, I remember when I wanted to start this podcast, it seemed so overwhelming. The amount of YouTube videos I watched, the amount of people I spoke to, and just getting a little bit of feedback from different people. But even after all of that, I was like, oh my God, that's a lot. Like the amount of videos on 1 million mics, or the amount of videos on how to use GarageBand versus this versus that and all that. Oh God, it was a lot to take in. But I had to write a plan for myself to start the podcast. I said, okay, step one, buy the mic. Buy a mic you can afford. Didn't want to use a phone. I wanted to use something that sounded good. I might not want to be a perfectionist anymore, but it's still got to sound good. You know what I'm saying? I had to make sure I was comfortable. I had my vision for what I wanted, and based off of my plan, I said to myself, okay, well, I wanted it comfortable, so this is what comfort means. I want it to sound good. This is what that means to me, and so on and so forth. I'm not going to list everything. But the point I'm making is you need to start making a plan, and then you need to start giving yourself a step-by-step SOP. SOPs is the best way to get through this imposter syndrome. If you give yourself step-by-step guidelines on how to do things, it really pushes you past that shit show of not knowing what to do next. What's going to happen? What am I going to do next? And also, I know this sounds bad, but I do this whole thing where I'm like, what's the worst that can happen? No, really, what's the worst that can happen? I've already envisioned it. And then what's the best that can happen? This is what I have to deal with. So if this is the worst that can happen, can I take it? Can I handle this worst of the worst? Well, if I can handle that, then since I know that that is the limit of it all, let's go. If that's all you have to throw at me, let's do it. Because if this is the worst, well, you know what that is? You've prepared yourself. So let's focus on what the best thing is that can happen in this situation. So definitely make a plan, and it'll definitely help you become more confident and feel more controlled in the situation rather than like overwhelmed and then just, oh, I can't deal, you know? Another strategy would be to be gentle with yourself. And I've had to learn this as well, because again, all that negative self-talk is just a lot. You know, you're constantly, from all the voices in your head that have told you at one point or the other that you can't do something, or you're not good at something, or I can't believe you did this or that, or just all those voices. You know, sometimes you can hear your mom's voice in your head saying something in a specific way, or you can hear your dad's voice, or anyone who's ever given you quote unquote constructive criticism. That's what they're masking it as, but we all know what it was, telling you ain't shit. So my point is, all those negative voices playing in your head that you're this, you're that, you ain't shit, you need to just remember that you need to be gentle with yourself. And if something doesn't go as you planned, or doesn't go exactly as you wanted it to, can you tell yourself, well, okay, shit happens. What am I going to do about it? I think that's the question you should ask yourself. Not just go, shit happens, this is it, I'm done. No, you need to ask yourself, since shit happens, what is my next step? What am I going to do about this shit that's hit the fan? Because I am one of those people where I hate to be stuck between a rock and a hard place. It is, for me, the worst thing in life to not have some kind of solution to my problem. If I feel like I'm floundering, I'm upset. So it's so important that you say to yourself, okay, well, look, shit happens, mind yourself. Tell yourself, look, it's okay for shit to happen, that's life. But don't wallow in it, find a solution to it, you know? So just because you're feeling like an imposter doesn't mean you actually are, okay? So just tell yourself, it's okay for things not to go exactly as planned. Is another one that I think is quite challenging. And we've kind of talked about it at one point on the negative side, but on the positive side, as a strategy to kind of combat this imposter syndrome. When you think about accepting compliments, does it make you cringe? Because it makes me cringe so hard. I did like a 3-course dinner the other day, and I slaved over the stove because I love cooking when I really want to cook. Sometimes I hate cooking, but when I want to cook, I really want to cook. I really want to throw down. And I did this amazing, and I have to pat myself on the back and say it was amazing. Now, you might know it's amazing, but if someone tells, oh, the food was great, you'd be like, really? Was it too much salt? Are you sure? It wasn't too much pepper? Oh my God. It's just, you know, you start minimizing your accomplishments. Now, the point I'm making is just make sure you allow yourself to receive a compliment without discounting them. Remember, the answer to a compliment is thank you, full stop. So one of the biggest things that causes us to be such perfectionists and have this issue of wanting everything to go exactly a certain way is that we tend to focus on the outcome and not the process. So this strategy is focusing on the process, okay? When you're working on a project or a goal or anything you're trying to achieve, you need to try and focus on the process rather than the outcome. Now, for me, I've always been a focus on the outcome kind of person because for me, I'm just trying to get to where I'm going. You know what I'm saying? But honestly, the process. I remember when I moved homes and there was so much that needed to be done. Buying of furniture, just sorting out the house and things like that. The amount of decisions that were involved in it, I just wanted to just get in the house and live in there. Eventually, I realized I needed to focus on the process. Okay, great. I need to look at what color paint I want on the walls, what kind of furniture I want. I started focusing on the things that would make me happy about that process. If I'm trying to buy a new couch, I start asking myself, picture yourself, you know, watching Netflix. What are you sitting on? As opposed to, oh, I just want to be sitting on a couch. Oh, so it's that change of mindset when you start to focus on the process, but in a positive way, in a way that you're visualizing how great it's going to be when insert situation. I was buying a new bed and I was like, oh, the bed we had was just a mess before. And I had to say to myself, okay, what does the perfect bed look like? And I had to start envisioning myself in that bed. I'll tell you something, guys. I had to envision myself in this massive, massive bed. The room I'm in is not that big, but I can assure you that I have a super king bed. Why? Because I envisioned that. I knew I wanted a big bed, something that I could roll over 3 times and I'd be fine. You know what I'm saying? So focusing on the process has helped me get to where I'm going without letting the imposter syndrome get the best of me. Or is it the worst of me? Which is it? When you focus on the process, it really helps you to enjoy the journey and not just get wrapped up in whether or not you've succeeded in what you're doing. And in the process, you end up succeeding. Isn't it amazing how these things work? Another thing to think about is something that a lot of people think isn't right to do, but it works for me, okay? Can't speak for anybody else. You do what's best for you. This is all just my opinion, okay? I believe if you fake it till you make it, you're gonna make it. You know, when you start telling yourself to believe in what you're doing to the point where you believe the hype. It's genuinely believing the hype. So anytime you're feeling unsure of yourself, literally just tell yourself, I'm the shit. I can do this. I know this. I've been doing this. Just fake it till you make it. Act confident. And I can assure you, eventually, the feelings will start to follow. And when the feelings start following, the reality of it starts following. So I encourage you to try some of these strategies. They've been working for me quite beautifully. It does take some practice. It does take some time. Don't start with the high stakes stuff. Start with little stuff and then build up on there. But I can assure you it's working. So I just want to talk to you about just some of the benefits. I know we've kind of touched on them, but I'm going to just talk about one or two benefits of pushing through your feelings of all this self-doubt and this imposter syndrome. So the first one is that you'll start to feel more confident in your abilities. We've talked about that a little bit, right? So when you're pushing through your self-doubt, you realize that you're actually capable of so much more than you thought you were. It's going to boost your confidence. It's going to help you tackle new challenges, and you'll feel really at ease with the new challenges that you're tackling as well. Also, pushing through your self-doubt will help you to achieve your goals. And if you let doubts hold you back, you'll never reach your fullest potential or the best that you can possibly be. But if you push through them, I think you'll be amazed at what you can accomplish. I know I'm amazed by myself every single day, and things that I'm doing today, I would never think that I'd be able to do them 5 years ago if you told me about things I'm doing now, you know? So one of the other things that is a great benefit of actually pushing through and using some of these strategies is that you'll achieve success in spite of these crippling feelings of imposter syndrome. We all know that the self-doubt creeps up on you, especially when you least expect it. But it really doesn't mean that you should give into it when it starts happening. And you know when it starts happening, you know that feeling in your chest and then it goes down to the pit of your stomach. You can, once you start feeling that, you can start pushing past it. You know, once you push through those feelings, it is one of the best things you can do for yourself. And you know this because success comes from taking action and moving forward rather than sitting in those feelings and, you know, letting them get the best of you. Oh, is it the worst? So when you move forward and take action, instead of letting those feelings take hold of you, even when you don't feel confident, you're building up resilience in that situation and proving to yourself every time that you can achieve anything you set your mind to. So next time you're feeling negative or have any negative thoughts start creeping in, remind yourself that you are strong enough to push through them. And, you know, you start giving yourself examples of the other time that you pushed through this and the other time that you pushed through that. And, you know, you realize you've got this. Now, the only third one I want to go into, because I don't want to hold you up too long, is that you'll actually be able to help other people who are dealing with the same situation. So not only will you be able to achieve your own goals, but you'll also be able to help others who are dealing with the exact same thing. The same way I've had mine, I'm able to share the information. You might have a friend who's also going through a similar situation, and you can be some kind of source of inspiration and hope for them, showing them that it is possible to overcome your own self-doubt and your imposter syndrome. And so next time you're feeling down, you can remember the difference you can make in your community, with your friends, with your loved ones, by you doing what you can to push through your self-doubts and helping them push through theirs as well. Just just to conclude today, we all know that imposter syndrome is self-doubt and feeling inadequate, and these feelings can keep you from achieving your goals. But I think it's completely conquerable. I think we can get rid of it if we put our minds to it. I think we just need to be a little bit more aware of what exactly it is and to understand the symptoms of it when you feel it coming up and use the strategies that we've been talking about today to push through them. I hope that this episode has given you some insight on how to do all these things. And if you want more support in conquering imposter syndrome, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and join us on our next email hangout. Thank you so much for listening to the episode. I'll leave some information in the show notes for you. If you enjoyed the episode, please don't forget to give it a good review and subscribe to the podcast for more content. Chat soon. Ciao.